He said, I want you to preach more on Sundays. And I said, you can go 45 minutes. And some of you guys know how sometimes I'll go for an hour. He said, I'm a 35-minute man. So be encouraged.
Thank you. God bless you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Gosh, what a blessing to be here. Gosh, I am so blessed. I'm honored. The conference was so great. And what a privilege it is for me to be able to share with you this morning. Let's pray before we start. Father, thank you so much for all we've already done, Lord, where we've worshiped you. And Lord, as we've lifted up praise, and Liz has left us, has allowed us to lift up praise, and we thank you, Lord, for that time and for the beautiful songs we sung. Now, Lord, give our hearts to be open. Give our eyes to be open to your word this morning. Let us leave here changed, different, transformed. I thank you for Santa Ponza Community Church, and I thank you for the great opportunity that I can be here, and I know Rich thinks the same. So we ask your blessing now upon this time. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 6. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, is with all his heart sharing with Israel concerning God's care and love for them. He would tell them that God loves you with an everlasting love. But Jeremiah's ministry would be far from what we would think successful is. He really didn't have a big church, didn't need to make a bulletin because no one was coming. But Jeremiah had many multiple words to say that would encourage these people concerning their walk with the Lord, but also this, their responsibility to what God has for them. I want to talk this morning about your and my responsibility to seek the Lord out. Seek him out. Seek him through. And when there needs to be another way. Let me tell you what I mean. Let me read here in verse 16. It explains it so clearly. That these people were to do something in light of their walk with God. They were to, verse 16 says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. They need to do what? Look at that. Ask for the old paths where the good way is. Then they were exhorted to walk in it. And then they were promised this. Then you will find rest for your souls. But it's sad. Look at the end. Remember I told you about Jeremiah's success? But they said, we were not walking it. We were not respond to what you have just said, Jeremiah. Will rebel against it. I don't believe that's the case with people here today. Jimmy gave me some keys that are for the apartment that I'm staying in. I was reminded of a truth last night as I was dropped off in my apartment that there's only one key that works for the lock of the door. And it's this one. This one won't do it. Nor will this one do it. But since I'm hard-headed, I kept trying to open the door with the wrong keys. It wasn't until I got some sense and inserted the right key for the boat lock, and it did what it was supposed to do, as this key is designed to open that boat lock. I'm not original at all talking about keys. Jesus talked about some keys too. He said he called them the keys of the kingdom. And these keys mean just this. It means access. It means entry. Entry out or entry in. And there are things that you and I are always moving out and moving in. That's why the priests, when they bless people, they would say, bless, you're going out. And you're coming in. Because you and I are always going out and coming in and stuff. Literally for you too. Going out. Moving out. Moving out of places literally. Geographically. Like Christian. Or it's moving into a new spot. Like the new baby dedicated. And the mother and the father with this new baby. We're always moving in and out. Now, it's important for you and I to understand a responsibility that we have. And that's a responsibility to allow God to help us have the right access, the right key. There are multiple ways that are set before us. We're going to look at that in a second. But there's only one good way for you. And it's crucial, it's vital for you and I to find the way, the good way, the best way. It's a bummer when your life is sad, discouraging, when your life doesn't change, and you don't gain access into things. You're at a door, and you have keys, but they're not fitting. And they're not gaining open doors for you, in or out of something, whatever it may be. If you and I want to be better, and I think we all want to be better in a lot of areas of our lives, some of them would be just practical, tangible things. Some of them could be real spiritual. I'm going to let you pick what it may be. But there are things that we want to advance in and become. And there is a key or a way that accesses you and I into that. But there's trust and faith in God that's going to bring that. I believe God cares about things we care about too. And there are things that you want transformed or changed in your life. I believe that verse 16 gives us our part and our responsibility to move towards something better, especially when this door is shut, when this door is closed, when this isn't working. One of mine, of my things I want access into, and I don't believe it's vain. I don't believe at all it's insignificant. I believe it's important. For me, if I'm going to enjoy the second half of my life, I'm going to have to stop listening to food. Food talks to me. It calls me by name. Thomas, eat me. There's only one food that has never talked to me, and I found out last night, it was snails. Pastor Raphael gave me some snails last night. They didn't talk. I ate one anyway. I really want to get a handle. After I leave Spain, I'm going to get a handle. Because you guys got too many good food here. So no diet while I'm in Spain. But I want to get a handle. Because you know what? I don't want to have a heart attack. Because I eat too much. I want to enjoy my grandchildren whenever my kids will give me some. I don't want to have diabetes. Because I just couldn't stop eating too much. It's one thing to inherit something and have something because of inherit. I'm pretty well healthy. I'm not taking any kind of medications or anything. But it would be foolish for me to not find the better way. Not find the better way. And there's a way that God has for me, whether it's for me to lose weight and be more healthier. I want you to think about whatever yours is. There's a better way. You hadn't found access. You're still trying to get through this. You're trying to get in or out of that. Whatever it may be. But you don't have the right access. I want to encourage you and I this morning, four things we see here. First of all, if we're going to gain access, if we're going to find the better way, look at the first thing in the line of verse 16. The Lord says this. What do you say, Lord? Stand in the ways and see. Number one, notice the word stand in the ways and see. Notice the word stand. The word stand means to move. It means to reach into. Really, that's a neat word. It's not just talking about them literally standing, even though that's the case, too, especially if you're on the ground. You got to start moving. It means to move, to reach into. You know what it means? It means this. It means to reposition yourself. It means at the state of where you're at emotionally, spiritually, you're going to have to move from that. A lot of times you and I don't see the significance and the importance of just repositioning something. Changing the angle. Causing movement. I want you to let the Lord show you, because this can be in many ways. There's not just one way you stand. I want you to let the Lord show you. Let the Lord show you in your own walk, in your own life. He'll show you where you need to move or how you need to move. He'll show you what you need to stand in, what you need to reposition yourself. When we think about repositioning yourself, I think about that little guy, Zacchaeus. Short guy. Jesus is coming down the street. He can't see Jesus until he gets into the tree, the sycamore tree. And then he can see Jesus. And boy, his life changed once he got in the tree. Jesus saw it. Zacchaeus, I'm eating at your house tonight. And it wasn't until Zacchaeus repositioned himself, stood, literally, he got up in a tree, and Jesus was able to encounter him in a great way. There's something you're going to need to stand up to, move into, something you're going to need to, and again, this word means to reach into, before you're going to start this process of change in your life, this process of transformation in your life and mind. He says here, stand. Notice he tells us where to stand. Stand in the ways. In the ways. That's the paths. Stand in the paths. And notice ways are plural, more than one. You need to stand up and notice that there are ways for you. Some of us feel trapped, whether it's me on a diet or whether it's you finding and starting a new business. I don't know what it is for you. Or for you moving into a different area, better area for your life. So often we feel trapped. I feel left back. I feel that we say those words. There's just no way. There's just no way. And there is ways, but you're going to have to stand to be able to see them. There is a way. We used to say in the old black church and doing the old gospel songs, God will make a way out of no way. Make a way out of no way. And you need to be able to see the ways. You are not trapped in this. Your marriage is struggling now. It doesn't have to continue to struggle. Your children are tripping out, teenagers talking back, acting ugly, coming home late at night. There is a way for you. And there's a better way. And God can mend this thing, change this marriage, bless your children, that you can have the kind of life that God said you could have. It's that better way. Now look what he says here. Stand. Notice he says here. And see. And see. Vision. You're going to need to see. You're going to have to get up. You and I. We're going to have to get in a place where there's other ways. We can see the ways. And then we need to see. We need to see by faith. Write this down. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16. 1 Samuel chapter 12, 15 says this. Now, therefore, stand and see this great thing the Lord will do before your eyes. There it is again. Stand and see. There has to be movement. Movement is the faith. It's when you're starting to walk by faith and not by sight. I begin the process of change by moving way before the change. I would love to be able to say that God doesn't require faith, but you know that's not true. It's in your Bible. The Bible makes it very clear that a person who doesn't have faith should never think that they're going to receive the best of God. Without faith, I think my Bible says, it's impossible to please God. I think that's in the Bible. You know it's in the Bible. And God, whatever reasons, has made this his particular way of how you're going to, how he's going to respond in our lives, and it's by faith. He asks his people all the time through the Bible to do stuff before they were healed. He'll tell people, stretch your arm out. A guy who's been withered for all his life, Jesus says, stretch it out. And when they would do it, it would become whole. Peter, walking on the water, he sinks. Jesus tells him what the problem was. It's amazing. Here's a little Bible college fun with you. When I taught Bible college, I ask people, why did Peter sink in the water? And then, why did Peter sink? And the hands go up. Yes, he says, because he took his eyes off of Christ. Really? Does it say that? Yes, it says. Because he took his eyes off of Christ, he sank. And then most people would believe that, that that is why he sank. No, Jesus told him why he sank. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why'd you doubt? I wanted you to come." Four-letter word, come. And Peter was walking, not just walking on his faith, but he was walking on the power of God. And there are things that you and I are not, again, going out, are coming into, is because we're not trusting God. He says, come. Come this way. I don't see him say, come. All I see is times I failed. All I see is times I'm afraid. All I see is what dictates around me. And I don't see or hear him say, come. But when he says, come, he's saying, come by faith. Thomas, I want you to start walking before you even feel it. Before you even experience it. That's faith. That's faith. That faith to see, have the vision. Jesus said something, boy, really profound. Jesus says that the lamp or the light of the body, that's who you are, he says, is the eye. He says, if the eye is dark, the whole body is dark. If the eye is light or letting in light, it will light up the whole body. It'll light up. A lot of times you and I need to see the importance of the power of the eye. It's all, let me say it this way, it's all in the eyes. Years ago, there was a heavyweight champion whose name was George Foreman. He now sells grills, by the way. And you can make a hamburger on a grill. He's just a multimillionaire. It's amazing. But when he was a fighter, he was vicious. And he was vicious way before, ding, the bell would ring. He was vicious right at the standoff where he's standing face to face with his opponent while the referee would explain the rules. And George Foreman would look, and he would look, and without saying, his eyes would say, "You're going down." He wouldn't take his eyes off of people. And you would see when they show these parts, there'll be guys who would turn their eyes from him. And when they turn their eyes from him, George knew, I got him. You got to have the eye. It's all in the eye. You got to see. And I'm not talking about this visionary Star Wars, see it, Luke. You can raise the ship. I'm not talking about Star Wars. I'm talking about trusting God. I'm going to trust in God and have it in your eyes and letting people know that you trust the Lord and they can see it in your pupils. Look, the eyes never lie. Maybe that's why tears come from the eyes. God could have had tears come from your ears or out of your nose, but he didn't. He had tears. That's gross. He had tears. He had tears come from our eyes. Because the eyes can't lie. The eyes tell what's inside. Either it's hollow, distant, discouraged, or the eyes are bright. The eyes are bright. Speaking of bright, you know how this man's eyes? You got the name for it too, bright, right? This man looks at you and it lights rooms up when he walks in the room, walks into places. And I'm not trying to embarrass him or nothing like that, but that's the kind I'm talking about. And all of you know this. You met bright before you know it. The man illuminates light. And you know what? It's in the eyes because it's in his heart. It's in his heart. He really does feel that good. He really does. And I tell you, all of us can take from that and know that we can have that kind of vision. Vision that sees. Vision that sees. So stand in the ways and see. Stand in the ways and see. Next thing I want you to notice, look at the words. And ask, prayer. Ask, verse 16, for the old paths, for the old paths. The ways which have been proven rightly. You need to ask for them. Yes, number one, you need to ask God. You need to ask God. You and I need to be in prayer for the for the old paths, for those proven ways. A lot of times you and I want new paths. We want to blaze new trails. We want to move in new ways. And all that's good and understandable. But when it comes to your life and mine working, there isn't any new. It's God's way. And His way is the best way. You and I need to ask Him. We need to ask for that new path. Not that proven path, excuse me. Also, we need to ask people. Nothing wrong with asking people. I can ask God and ask people, especially people who are older than me and wiser than me. And also people who are where I want to be. Where they're in a place in life that is fulfilled and they're content and they're no different than me. I may make more money than they make, but it doesn't matter to them. They have this fulfillment, this joy, this security in their lives. Man, that's the kind of people you want to get around. Ask. Ask where the proven paths are. You younger people, please, please don't ever be afraid nor too prideful to ask the older people how to get where they're at. Oh, don't be afraid of that. I encourage you to do that. Ask God, number one. Number two, ask other people. Number three, yes, ask yourself. Ask yourself. I believe that you and I should be able to be trusted with filling out what direction God has for me. What path can work for me. I believe that you have enough integrity. I hope you're not deceitful or lie to yourself about things. People who do that never gain access. They never gain in or out. They end up trapped all the time. They deceive themselves. Talking to people here, I'm sure, this morning, who allow the integrity of their hearts to lead them. And knowing that what is right, and God's made things right in your life. And there's something about coming to a place to where I can honestly ask myself, is this better for me? Is this good for me? Being able to make those changes. And all of us have testimony to that. But we had to really ask ourselves and be who we really are. Jimmy and I were talking about that this morning. Being honest and being faithful to who you are. It's asking and ask in prayer, but also in fellowship for the old paths. For those old paths. Moving on. Look what he says there. Where the good way is. God, look at that word. Look at that line. Where the good way is. We need to ask where the old paths are and where the good way is. Two times in the book of Proverbs, in verse 12, chapter 14, verse 12, and chapter 14, verse 25, it says the exact same thing. And here's what it says. There is a way that seems right to a person, but it says this, but its end is the way of death. There is a way that looks right. It just looks right. It just seems right. But it's death. See, that's the checking point to that asking ourselves. I have to really want to know what God wants. And then also filter it through who I am. But there is a way that even seems right. My gosh. I heard it was a true story. When I was in Russia a couple years ago. It happened in Russia near Siberia. It's a train years ago, many years ago. Train during the time of winter time, a lot of snow. A lady gets on the train with her children. Her husband is in the army. She gets on the train. They're traveling to go see her mother. And she had never went on the train before. Never, ever before. She wasn't sure at all of her stop. She told the conductor when she got on, please let me know when we get to this particular stop. And he said, yes, I'll let you know. You'll be fine. You and the kids enjoy the ride. I'll take care of you. She went into a place where she was staying, and there was a guy sitting there too. And he asked her, where are you going? And she told him. And she said, that's where I'm getting off, where my parents live. And he said, oh, I know that place well. And then she said, well, will you tell us when we get there? Sure, I'll tell you when we get there. That'll be fine. I'd love to. The train keeps going. It goes for a couple hours. The train starts slowing down. And he says, this is your stop. And she said, really? Is it really? Yes, this is where you get off. She takes her children into the snow. Into a storm. She gets off the train. The train leaves. Another hour later, the conductor comes into the compartment where the lady should have been with her kids. And he said, where'd that lady go? Talking to the man. And she said she got off at her stop. What stop? He said. I told her where it was. I told her that was her stop. She got off. He said, the conductor said, that wasn't her stop. He said, that wasn't even a stop. All we were doing was quickly refueling the steam in the water. She had been dropped off at a place where nobody was. And her kids died. Froze to death. Because someone thought they knew the way. A way that seemed right. But for them, literally brought death. I'm talking about death, not literally, hopefully for you. But there are things that in our lives that can be killed. Like our marriages. Like our children being raised rightly. Whether it be anything. We need to know what God is saying and what God is speaking to us about. Some of you with this new school that's starting here in September. Some of you, God's going to speak to you. That's what you ought to do with your children. And it's going to be the way that is right. And see the way. God, see the way, like it says here. And know that it's the, it says here, the good way here in verse 16. It's the good way. Let that verse sober you in Proverbs. There is a way that seems right, but there's death. I'm amazed with and how many people from my growing up, how many of them are either in jail or in a cemetery somewhere. And I praise the Lord from the inner city that I grew up in. The inner city never grew up in me. And I give God all the glory. And I give God all the honor. And I'm also have a holy fear in my life. A holy fear to make sure I don't move the wrong ways in life. I'm here in Spain right now because I'm supposed to be here. That's why I slept good last night. Because I'm in the will of God. I'm in the will of God. Remember that movie Saving Private Ryan? One of the best things in that movie was the Christian guy is asleep and all the war is going on. They're in an abandoned church and they're asleep. And the unsaved person is like looking at him. Look how fast he went to sleep. And the guy said, asked him, how does a guy go to sleep that fast? He says, only one way. It's because he has a pure conscience. And you and I as Christians ought to be getting a lot of good sleep. Even after eating snails. I slept good last night. And I say it proudly. And I say it also because God gives sleep to his saints, to his beloved. And what a blessing to be able to have that. And you can have that too. And I'm talking about not just literal sleep, but you can have rest in your life. And that's the last thing we talk about. Look what he says here at the end of the verse. Walk in it. Walk in it. That good way that he has for you, that good way that you ask for, walk in it and you will find rest for your souls. The word walk in it means live in it, abide in it, obey it, move in its direction. You're to move in a direction where your life is rest for your souls. Jesus called the life this, a life more abundant. That's what Jesus said. You can have life more abundant. My gosh, he ain't talking about life with money. He's talking about life with substance. You can have a life of fulfillment. And he offers it to us. And it brings rest to your soul. It brings rest to your soul as you move in it, as you live in it, as you work through it. It also brings rest to your soul because of the great hope that we have. Praise the Lord. The great hope that we have of eternal life. And I hope today, everyone in here is at rest today, no matter what pain you have, no matter what hardship you're experiencing. There's people here today whose little babies are in the hospital. They're coming home. But there's rest for your soul even now. There's rest for your soul. I know what's happening here. There's a lot of stuff happening here at Santa Ponsa Community Church. A lot of struggles. Family members are hurting and pain and marriages are hurting. And it's real life. But I hope you have hope for the rest of your soul. For the rest that you can have. Let me close with this. The story goes, the lady's looking out her kitchen window and looking into the backyard. And she noticed her little boy is 4 years old. She knows he looks a little weak, not really like his active self. She thought maybe vitamin deficiency, or maybe he's coming down with the flu or something. But she was wise. She was a single parent. She was wise. She took him to the hospital anyway. She was amazed that the doctor kept probing and they kept running tests. And she realized maybe something else had happened. She wasn't sure until the doctor said, "Come to my office." She could tell in the doctor's eyes that something was going to be a little bit more than just the flu or vitamin deficiency. The doctor said, "Ma'am, I don't know how to tell you this. You wouldn't know it to look at him, but your boy is very, very sick. Your boy has leukemia in his blood, and it's flowing all through his body, and it's just so slowly killing him." She couldn't believe the words were coming from this man's lips. He said, "We can do chemotherapy, and we can do radiation and things like that. We'll try and we'll do our best. I've seen some things happen. We'll do our best." She grabbed her little boy, and it wasn't a long ride home, but it seemed like the longest in the world for her. She knew she had to tell this little boy something, because his life is about to drastically change. All the chemo and needles and blood tests, his life's going to be, to say the least, complicated and very painful. She pulled the car over to the side and said to her son, "Son, it's going to be hard for you. They're going to put needles in you, and they're going to be making your bones hurt. You're going to be feeling sick at night and throwing up, and it's going to be hard for you. I just want you to be ready for it." And then God gave her this. She said, "Every time it hurts when they put the needles in, every time it hurts when your joints hurt, every time it hurts at the doctor or here at home," she said, "I want you to do something. I want you to listen for heaven's bell. Listen for the most beautiful bells in the universe. They're heaven." So every time that boy got a shot, every time that boy ankles hurt or knees and joints would hurt, he'd be listening. He'd squint his little eyes and listen. That little boy got sicker. He didn't get better. There he is in the hospital. The mother was at home gathering some stuff together. She got a phone call. It's the doctor. "Ma'am, you better come down now. I don't think we have a long time." And she says, "I'll be right there." And he said, "Ma'am, wait, before you hang up, don't hang up yet, ma'am. I need to tell you something. I need to prepare you for something." She says, "Ma'am, when the body is dying, when the nervous system and brain is shutting down, there's something that happens. People begin to hallucinate and hear things. I just want you to know your little boy says he's here. He hears bells." And she hung the phone up, drove to the hospital. When she walked into his room, it looked like he was almost healed. He was standing up in excitement. And when he saw his mom, he said, "Mama, Mama, I hear heaven's bells, and they are beautiful." She held her son while he died in her arms. But he didn't die in fear. He didn't die in anxiety. He didn't die with an attitude and bitter. He died at rest because he knew of the hope of heaven's bells. To you today, there is a better way. There is a key that fits your life and will call you in and out of all that God wants for you. But you're going to have to stand. You're going to have to get in the ways. You're going to have to see it by faith. You're going to have to move and walk in it. And then you're going to find rest for your souls. And everybody wants that. Amen? Father, thank you.